The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with LeBron's Lakers as the King heads into a long offseason. Wait till you hear what he says he will not do. Meanwhile, Lamar is both the fastest and the slowest moving quarterback in the league. We'll tell you why both of those may work very well for his future. And Aaron needs help. Will his future be filled with frustration if they don't get it right? Right now, all that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday. And look at the squad we've put together here. Cam Jordan has come dressed for the occasion. Take a look at him. Bartholomew is here. Legler's breaking down hoops. Jeremy Fowler's breaking stories. And that's not all. Teddy Bruschi is with us today. We'll see Teddy. And Zach Lowe has got plenty to say as the play-in begins tonight. But we begin with the news from the NBA. It is official. The Lakers have fired head coach Frank Vogel. They announced it yesterday after finishing 33-49, failing to qualify even for the play-in tournament. And in his postseason address, the King, LeBron James, talking about that decision and his team's path forward.
I think the front office is going to do whatever it takes to help this ball club become a better ball club from top to bottom. They ask me my opinion, I give my opinion, but at the end of the day, they're going to make the decision that they feel is best for the franchise. I mean, it's not failure at all. I mean, listen, we came to work every single day, put our hard hats on, and we tried to get better every day. And the result just didn't happen for us. So, but it's not a failure. It's not like, we came together as a team. We wanted to be as great as we can be. We just didn't accomplish a lot of the things that we would have hoped.
Okay, I don't want to parse words here, but I mean, the idea that this season wasn't a failure for the Lakers, does that sound as ridiculous to you as it does to me?
He's 100% right. It was not a failure. It was a disaster. It's a much stronger word than a failure. I don't know how he could say that with a straight face. I know what he's trying to say because he's just trying to play this down, obviously. But the truth of the matter is when you have LeBron James on your roster, particularly at this stage of his career, every year you expect to win a championship. And certainly when you add a guy next to an Anthony Davis, who's one of the most versatile players in the NBA, Russell Westbrook, you got three stars at the top of your roster. You expect to win this year. And that's each and every year that LeBron James plays in this league before he retires. So to say that this wasn't a failure, it's just LeBron James trying to deflect right now from this epic disaster that this season was.
Yes, I agree with that. And Zach, I'll say this too. I'm not sure which one I put less stock in, the idea that it wasn't a failure or the idea that LeBron is not going to have his hands in absolutely every decision that gets made during this offseason. In what universe, Zach, is he sitting back and letting Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka and whomever else make all the decisions for this team this offseason?
Not this universe. And look, Greeny, he told you. He said, they're going to ask me for my opinion. I'm going to give my opinion, and they're going to make the final decision. So do you think all those people you just mentioned are going to hear LeBron's opinion? Maybe it's a strong opinion even on a player or a coach and be like, yeah, we'll ignore that opinion. So however you parse it, if he's giving his opinion and they're listening to his opinion, he has a heavy say in who's going to coach this team, what kind of players are going to be on this team, and he can't distance himself from that no matter what he says. And guess what? He's earned that equity and more, and he even just told you right there that he has it. So of course he's going to have a massive input into whatever happens with this failure, disaster, Titanic, Hindenburg. Everyone is picking their metaphors for how bad this season was for the Lakers.
And look, so all that is right. And I brought up yesterday on my radio show, only half jokingly, the last player coach in the NBA was Dave Cowens in 1979. They might want to consider going that route. Now let's get away from the joking. Is there one move, be it a coach, be it a player acquisition, be it a trade, is there one thing you can think of that might genuinely turn this thing around, turn them from whatever this disaster was into something that resembles a legitimate contender?
The premise of the question is what bothers me so much. Because,
why?
Because LeBron went there first, and what did we give him? We gave him Anthony Davis. We gave him Russell Westbrook. We gave him whatever coach he wants to have. And now we're still talking about what else can we give the Lakers? What else can we give them? I mean, listen, obviously they need to be much better on the perimeter defensively. They need to be a much better shooting team. So you look out there and look at the class of free agents. If you're talking about going out and getting a guy like Robert Covington, does that make sense? I believe he's an unrestricted free agent this summer. Do you add a guy like that? I don't know. But here's for me, when I hear that question, what I really think is, it's okay if the Lakers aren't any good. It's okay. The league will go on. There
right.
are some great young teams in this league, up-and-coming teams, teams that have already arrived. It's okay. They've been given enough talent to make this work.
I hear that. But I think I go back to the first point you made, which is at this stage of LeBron's career, a player of his magnitude, on some level, it's not okay for them not to be making these deep runs. I mean, it certainly
no, it's
can't
not
be okay
for them.
Him.
It's yeah. okay for me, Greeny. Okay. I guess that was more of a selfish answer. It's okay for me if the Lakers stink.
I hear that. Look, we got 2 months of outstanding playoffs ahead of us. The Lakers won't be in it and we'll be fine. But for LeBron James, Zach, if he's going to load up for one more run somewhere, is there a move? What would be the first step you would take if you were the person doing it, be it a coach, be it a player you'd be identifying? What would be the one move you're looking to make?
Well, Legler nailed it and said, can I call Robert Covington's agent? You know what Robert Covington's agent is going to say to me? You guys don't have any cap space or cap flexibility to get me. Go shopping for worse players than Robert Covington. And that's the problem the Lakers are going to have. The coach is not going to be the game-changing move. A coach can only do so much. The NBA is a players' league. The only move that vaults the Lakers back to where they want to be, where they have to be, as LeBron James prime runs out, if it ever runs out, is some kind of Russell Westbrook plus draft picks plus Talen Horton Tucker trade that gets you back names that are less sexy than Russell Westbrook, but that can shoot, that can play off the ball, that can defend enough to be on the court in crunch time. All the ingredients the Lakers had around LeBron and AD when they won the title just 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, and all the ingredients they were missing this season. Making that trade is easier said than done, but that's the only way. That's the only general type of move.
I feel like what you're saying is they need back all the guys they traded away and shouldn't have. That pretty much says it. Okay, I promise we're going to get to the play-ins and the playoffs coming up a little later in this hour. But let me get to the NFL because the crew is here and we're talking about Lamar Jackson, the Ravens quarterback, playing this season on his fifth-year rookie options. That'll pay him $23 million. He's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent in 2023. On the Rich Eisen show yesterday, the coach John Harbaugh explained why there hasn't yet been an extension for the star quarterback.
He's a unique guy, and it's, you know, people have been scratching their heads and trying to figure out Lamar probably for a long time, you know, ever since he was a kid. And he's got his way of going about doing things, but that's what you love about him. That's what I love about him. It's got to be a priority for both sides. We could do something, or we can wait because we know it's going to get done. He doesn't think he has to think about his contract. He feels like he's got time to do it. And yeah, you could argue that one way or the other, but everybody gets to make that decision for themselves. That's a great thing. That's his choice, not somebody else's.
It's interesting, Jeremy Fowler, our insider, because we live in a world where, generally speaking, these quarterbacks want to get their big contract right. as quickly as they can. We saw how it played out with Dak Prescott in Dallas. We see Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson seems to be taking the opposite tack here. What do people around the league think of this?
Yeah, well, I'm hearing that the Ravens are hopeful that this heats up after the draft, but they truly do not know because they're waiting on Lamar. He's been incredibly patient throughout this process. Talking to some execs around the league, they believe that he's going to need that Deshaun Watson type treatment. We're talking $45, $46 million. That's the market now that he's received because he's waited so long, remained patient here, and they are uncertain whether Baltimore really wants to pay that. So this could be a year-to-year situation. He takes it easy this offseason in the workouts, shows up, plays. Maybe they have to franchise tag him and even trade him down the road because the money could just get so outrageous.
Okay, so now we're getting into an interesting place. Now, I'm looking at the face of my beloved former Raven over here, Bartholomew Scott. Well, I have to react to that. What are you thinking here?
It's not a world where they ever would trade Lamar Jackson. He has lived up to expectations and exceeded expectations when he sat on that stage with Primetime and told them that he's bringing a Super Bowl, right? He's been, listen, his first 4 years, he only made $9 million. Yes, they picked picked up his option. So they owe him this money. And like you said, patience is a virtue, right? He's waited, he's been patient, and he's going to benefit, because now we live in a world when Deshaun Watson has got the most ever guaranteed. We live in a world now where Matthew Stafford has been paid this money. So by him waiting, he doesn't worry about it because he knows he's going to be a rich man regardless. So listen, he showed last year that I thought that he can put the team on his back when you look at all the injuries in them, him having the Ravens in first place late in the season before the injury.
I mean, you always use this phrase, there's levels to this. He's going to be a rich man by normal human standards.
Right.
But there are like levels of rich that at this moment he is willingly not achieving.
Understand the franchise that he's coming from. Joe Flacco was in the same situation. He was a late first round draft pick. He waited, he bet on himself. What did he do? He won the Super Bowl. So if Lamar Jackson feels like he can bring a Super Bowl, he moves from in between Deshaun Watson or in between underneath Josh Allen and say, I brought a Super Bowl, because his resume is flawless other than that, because he has an MVP. So that puts him there with Aaron Rodgers and all the rest of the great elite to become the highest paid, not underneath those guys, above those guys.
Fair enough. You're right. Flacco bet on himself and he won. Now, we did find, because we want to make Cam feel welcome and excited to be here.
Look, you're talking all this quarterback money. I just got excited. I'm over.
You buy some more nice suits like that. But take a look. 2018. Go ahead and roll it. We've got a video of Cam Jordan chasing down Lamar Jackson. This is the last time you guys played each other. Take a look. You got the vision on him here. Take me through this.
Run, Cam, run is all I'm going to say. Look, you know what he's doing. He's keeping the ball. He's going around the edge. And all you got to do is try and beat him to the mark. But he's the fastest quarterback I've seen to date. Like, I haven't witnessed anybody move as fast as he does.
You're moving pretty quick out there. Look at that, making that play.
Right? And it's a slap of the ankles and a grace to God. You know?
Teddy, how about that? Give me a little breakdown on that defensive play there from Cam.
Sometimes all you got to do is get a shoelace, and you're not gonna run him down, but as long as you get something to stop him, he did the job.
What do players around the league think as they see this happening? Lamar Jackson, obviously a uniquely gifted and a unique player at his position and beyond at Cam. What is your sense as you hear this conversation as an active player in the league?
Exactly what Byron was saying. I mean, if you bet on yourself, if you do everything you can as a quarterback, I mean, in my mind, the worst that happens is what? They Kirk Cousins him back when he was with Washington, you know, franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still going to make a tremendous amount of money.
And
it doesn't look like he's worried about it.
Kirk Cousins has made more money than any player in the league since that time began. Ooh. Teddy, is that how this thing could play out? Teddy, quickly.
It is. I'm just listening to what Fowler's talking about, and I think Lamar Jackson, you can win a championship with him, and that's the best compliment I can give a quarterback, but to do that, you need the full Lamar Jackson experience, and when defenses are going up against him, you see what Cam did. As soon as he crossed the line of scrimmage, he's breaking down because he knows the threat that Lamar has to defense is when you're playing 11-on-11 football. So, can he beat him with his arm? Yes, he can, but can he consistently do it like an Aaron Rodgers? Probably not as much, but still, he's going to get his money. But what happens when there is no more full Lamar Jackson experience and he can't use his legs? I mean, you're talking 4 or 5 years down the road, because this is what the Ravens are thinking and this is what goes into negotiations.
Did you have a quick add here?
No, I was just saying, like, the franchise tag numbers, that worked for Kirk Cousins, but we're talking about he could make a total of maybe $90 million over 3 years between his fifth year option and two tags. Well, the market's now $50 million, so he's not going to want to do that. It's changed so much. I think Baltimore's going to be put in a compromising position eventually. I don't think they're going to trade him, let's be clear, but like something's going to have to give here where he could maybe sit out. I mean, something's going to happen.
This bears watching as we get this thing rolling for this morning. Coming up as we continue, the Packers have traded away his favorite target. Is Green Bay looking to the draft to provide the help that Aaron Rodgers desperately needs? And is that going to be enough? Plus, you don't know what you're getting with the Sixers right now. How possible is a first-round sweep by Philly against the Raptors? The answer may surprise you. And it's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon. Verizon is going ultra, so you can too. And we are rapidly creeping up on the NFL draft, 16 days away. Questions still looming as to how the Packers will replace the receiver Devontae Adams. They have the 22nd and 28th picks in this draft. And so Jeremy Fowler, my insider extraordinaire, what is Green Bay looking at with the departure of Devontae Adams to give Aaron Rodgers some help?
Well, Greeny, I'm hearing that some of the top receivers in this draft believe that the Packers could be a sleeper for their services somewhere in the first round, but they also play it conservatively. It takes a lot to move up in the draft into the top 10 to get a guy like that, and they typically don't go first round on receivers. So it could be day two where they make their mark, maybe go pass rush defense in round one.
You are looking at Mel's top 5 receivers. I can tell you that most of the predictions have 6 or 7 receivers going in round one. It is that good and that deep. Teddy Bruschi, can they get a rookie and feel everything is okay? Is a rookie receiver, no matter how special, good enough to fill the shoes of Devontae Adams this year for a Super Bowl team?
To fill his shoes, I say no, but can they be better? I say yes. When that's going to be, it definitely won't be in September because no matter who they bring in, I mean, 1 rookie, 2 rookie, Aaron's got to get used to something. He's got to get used to not targeting one player 100 more times than the next player, which is what he did with Devontae Adams. It was actually, I mean, if you look at these numbers, I mean, the targets that he had over the last 2 seasons, I mean, it is Devontae, and then it's everyone else. So it's like defense is going up against Rodgers with Devontae Adams. You know who he's going to target, when to double him, certain situations, make him feel uncomfortable and go other places. Now in September, when he has a rookie receiver and they are trying to get used to that chemistry, there can be frustrations. So I see struggles early, but later in the season, Aaron learning to spread it around more, not having Devontae 100, target 100 more times than the next receiver, this is where they can get better and have more progress, but it's not going to happen until after Thanksgiving.
That's a really interesting thought. Cam, how about it? How about a little more diversity in an offense as brilliant a player as Devontae obviously is?
I mean, just think about it. It's Aaron Rodgers, right? At the end of the day, he's played without Devontae, but I mean, Devontae brings a lot. Now, everybody knows you're targeting Devontae and you still can't stop him. Unless you're the Saints.
And, you know. And you guys feel as though you have. How about it, Bart? How about this idea? What do you think?
Listen, Cam has witnessed this, right? He's played with Michael Thomas. Remember, Michael Thomas was Devontae Adams before Devontae Adams, you know, took that spot because of the injuries, right? It's nobody that you can use or draft that can replace the best receiver in the game because you can't, it doesn't matter. You can go get the best young receiver right now. He's not going to dictate coverages to open everything else up. So, listen, they can do it, but it's going to be more on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. You know, Jordy Nelson took time to develop, right? Greg Jennings took time to develop. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have time. Every year he's up, you know, maybe considering retirement. So, listen, I think it was a big mistake. The best thing they can do is package those 2 picks and try and get DK Metcalf. The problem is DK Metcalf's going to want more than the $25 million that they offered Devontae Adams because yesterday's price is not today's price.
I'm with that. I've been saying that, Jeremy, super quick. DK Metcalf, is that still going to happen? Are we still keeping a close eye on him as a possible trade?
Yes, because teams are calling. Seattle has not moved on that yet. They've given indications publicly and privately they do not want to do a deal, but there will be a market. So watch on this closer to the draft.
All right, hold on to that thought. That's something I want to come back to as we go. And as I remind you that Green Bay, if they take a receiver in the first round, it would be something they haven't done since 2002. You see, that's the third longest active drought of that sort, not including quarterbacks. They've actually gone 19 straight drafts without taking any offensive skill position players in round one. That is the longest drought in the common draft era. Every April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year it is the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. Robinson continued to fight for equality and justice well after his Hall of Fame career. Today, a legendary civil rights leader recounts how he found out that Robinson chose him for a profound honor and a daunting challenge. It's part of our series, Black History Always.
Richard called me before his body was cold. He said, Jesse, are you sitting down? I said, yes. Jackie just died. He died at the hospital this morning. And he wants you to speak at his funeral. I just said to my wife, I screamed, really. Jack is dead. Jack is dead.
Today we must balance the tears of sorrow with the tears of joy. Mix the bitter with the sweet, death and life. Jack, as a figure in history, was a rock in the water, creating concentric circles and ripples of new possibility.
He's a frame of reference for justice, for decency, for racial progress, for challenge, and for courage. He is a landmark. Jack's impact on racial justice in America is profound. His suffering to make it happen. Jack was a suffering servant. I mean, very few people could have suffered the way he suffered. The pain he took, the licks he took, the humiliation he took. I told Rachel many times how hard it was to take being called by your teammates, threats to his wife and his family. He endured. He endured. He was a man with integrity, strength, and ability. He was all to make people better. Segregation is bad because it creates walls. Jackie challenged the wall. He began to move the wall that would expand our consciousness as to what was possible. Jackie changed culture. Supreme Court changed the law. Champions win ball games. They hit the home run, they run touchdowns. When they get through, the people put them on their shoulders. Heroes put people on their shoulders. Jackie put the nation on his shoulders. He put an unborn shirt on his shoulders. He's a hero.
He was medicine. He was immunized by God from catching the diseases that he fought. The Lord's arms of protection enabled him to go through dangers seen and unseen, and he had the capacity to wear glory with grace.
At the age of 80, the Reverend Jesse Jackson maintains a busy schedule for his Rainbow Push Coalition. He's overcome stays in the hospital and rehab last fall after contracting COVID that aggravated his Parkinson's disease. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. Meanwhile, as we continue here, the Broncos paid a lot to get Russell Wilson. So is a trip to the Super Bowl a must to justify all they gave up? We'll answer that question next. It's Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, in time for a wake-up call this morning. Here in New York, the WNBA draft.
With the first pick in the 2022 WNBA draft, the Atlanta Dream select Ryan Howard from the University of Kentucky.
I'm shaking right now. A sigh of relief. This is a dream come true, and I'm glad It's real.
Special night last night. Baylor's Nalissa Smith went second overall to Indiana. The Fever became the first team to make four first-round picks in a single WNBA draft. And shout-out Veronica Burton from Northwestern, three-time Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. She went number 7 overall to the Dallas Wings. Meanwhile, Tim Legler back in our studio. And with apologies again to our buddy Graziano, we're going to steal his bit and do Overreaction Tuesday. So I'll say something, Legler, and you tell me if that something is an overreaction. So if I were to say Russell Westbrook will not be a Laker next season, would that be an overreaction?
Absolutely an overreaction to be that definitive about it. It's one thing to say, well, they're going to trade Russell Westbrook because it didn't fit and he didn't play well this year. It's far more complicated than that in the NBA, particularly when a guy's going to opt into a $47 million deal. Now, doesn't mean it can't be done, because there are teams out there that might make that move because they want to shed that contract the following summer. So then the question becomes, do what the Lakers get back in return, does that make sense to pair with LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
All right, the next one. If I were to say, as Shaquille O'Neal did the other night, the Raptors are going to get swept by the Sixers, would that be an overreaction?
A massive overreaction. Not only are they not going to get swept, I think this series is a coin flip. And I think Philadelphia must win those first two games at home. If they split and they go up to Toronto, they don't have Thibault going into those games. I think they're in serious trouble. And Pascal Siakam has been a tough matchup for Philadelphia.
Once again, Shaq predicted a sweep. Finally, if I were to say with Ben Simmons, the Nets will get to the Eastern Conference Finals, would that be an overreaction?
Not at all. I mean, they could get there potentially without Ben Simmons. And if you add him to the mix and he plays anywhere from 15 to 25 minutes a night, you're talking about a guy that gives them the two things they really need, which is playmaking and pace for the role players, and then obviously elite-level defense.
So let me bring Zach Lowe in here, and let's dive into this a little. We will see the Nets tonight. They play in the play-in tonight at home against Cleveland. I want to make sure it's clear to everyone exactly how this goes from here. If the Nets win tonight, they are the 7th seed. They would play Boston in the first round. Should they lose tonight, they could still win on Friday against the winner of Atlanta-Charlotte. And at that point, if they win, they'd be the 8th seed, which means they would play Miami. So, Zach Lowe, I can't get a read on what you think of the Nets. As they head into this here, the Simmons factor is at this point somewhat undetermined as what exactly they will get from him. What do you think as far as the Nets' short-term and long-term future here, meaning tonight and then the next few weeks?
Well, I think they win tonight, and if they do win tonight, they kind of opt into the toughest possible path to where you think they're going to go, Greeny. They'd have to go Boston, Milwaukee, and then who's ever left over. And I think Boston and Milwaukee are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, assuming Robert Williams III comes back soon. And to me, the Nets, we know what their upside is. We know who the two stars are. We know the Simmons rumblings are out there. It just feels like to beat two teams that good, it's got to be your year. It's got to be a year where everything coalesces, where you know yourself as a team, where you've been healthy, where you have a guy like Joe Harris who we've all forgotten about. Sometimes it's just not your year. So where do I stand on the Nets? I keep saying this, and it's vague maybe, but this is what I feel. They could win any one series against any of these Eastern Conference powerhouses, though I think it's unlikely against Boston and Milwaukee. But winning two or three in a row is just so hard. It just doesn't feel like their year to do that. It feels like not enough has come together for them.
How much do they need from Simmons, Tim, to get something significant done?
They need just a guy that can come in and give them 15 minutes of defense more
That's
than
enough.
Anything else. He's going to be a complete non-factor offensively. The guy sat out a year. He's a reluctant scorer as it is. You might be able to get him something easy as a slasher or in transition. But look, he can take the ball off the glass, push it, and get, you know, Steph Curry a wide open shot. Get Andre Drummond a dunk on a drive and a drop off. He can create offense for the people. But we're not going to be talking about his offense at all. This is a two-man show for that team offensively. It's the other end of the floor. 6'10", athletic, versatile. Can you just give us 15 minutes of guarding the Jason Tatums of the world, the Jalen Browns, the Jimmy Butlers, the Giannis's? Just give us 15 minutes of solid defense. It makes them much better than they are right now.
I feel like you're nodding your head at this, Zach. How much could Simmons, depending on what we get from him, alter your thinking on the Nets?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I find it hard to believe that after a year away and after a back injury, he's going to come in as the kind of force that can make me really change my mind that this team can make the finals and win the title, the kind of team that we all thought they would be. He would help. Absolutely. They need defense. They can't stop anybody right now, and he would help with that. He's a force in the open court, like Legs just said. And look, people are scoffing at the Nets. I hear a lot of, why are people so scared of the Nets? But just think about this. If you have Kyrie, KD, Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, and let's say Patty Mills, like, you're not guarding that team. That's four elite shooters and Ben Simmons doing whatever it is he's going to do, set screens, bring the ball up. You're not guarding that team. They might not be able to guard you, but they're going to outscore you on a lot of nights. That's a scary, scary team. I just don't think it's enough. Again, Boston, Milwaukee, theoretically back-to-back in seven-game series, that is brutal.
Yeah, you know, you didn't play in a league that had a play-in tournament, so this was never part of your, but, you know, it's a dangerous game to say lose tonight and win on Friday, but it does get you Miami and Toronto, which might be, but no, Zach, yeah, is you don't lose the game tonight.
No,
right?
And here's why, because you put yourselves then in a situation, yeah, where one a and foul done. Trouble, yeah, an off night by one of your stars, somebody gets hurt,
yeah,
and you're going home for the summer, so you don't even think about, right, trying to manipulate this. You show up, you win the game.
Can't
I agree
it.
With Zach. They're going to win the game tonight, and they're going to get Boston.
Well, we'll see what happens. So that's tomorrow night. We will have the Hawks and the Hornets. That's the games we've got tomorrow night. 7 Eastern, we've got Trae Young's Hawks, LaMelo Ball on the Hornets. That's the 9-10 game in the East. Then we have the 9-10 game in the West between the Pelicans and the Spurs. Losers are out. Our coverage begins tomorrow night with NBA Countdown, 6:30 Eastern. You'll see it all right here on ESPN. Back to the NFL, where yesterday 6 more teams with new head coaches kicked off their voluntary offseason workouts, and one of those, the Denver Broncos. And Russell Wilson has been busy since he's gotten there. So Thursday night, he was at the Nuggets game. You see him having some fun there, throwing footballs around. Next day, he's at Coors Field for the Rockies home opener, throwing out the first pitch to Chris Bryant. Wilson, by the way, was drafted by the Rockies in addition to playing football. Yesterday, his first official workout with his Broncos teammates, which included fellow former NC State player Bradley Chubb. Marcus Beers was here on this show yesterday talking about what getting Wilson means for the Broncos right now.
Look, Denver is going to have, they're going to take some lumps figuring this thing out. Russell Wilson is great. He's a great quarterback. After Beast Mode left, after Marshawn Lynch and the Legion of Boom left, Russell Wilson was carrying this team for years. So now you look at this Denver team, which we talked all last year, with the perception that Aaron Rodgers could potentially end up there being a quarterback away. This is a good consolation prize to get Russell Wilson in this particular situation.
It's an interesting way of looking at it. So, Teddy Bruschi, it does beg the question, what do they have to do? What does this team have to accomplish to make this seem worth it? What would constitute, in your mind, a successful season for Russell Wilson and the Broncos?
Guys, you make the playoffs out of that division, and that's a successful season in my mind. I think they are a much better team. Russell Wilson is a great quarterback, like Swagoo's saying right there. But towards the end of this season, when you get to December, I mean, you could go through 3 straight weeks. We all know how the NFL structures scheduling, okay? And at the end of the schedule, to make things interesting, they think it's always good to have divisional games at the end. So they will go right through the NFC West during the month of December. So to see how they go through that, those are playoff games in themselves in terms of how tough this division will be. So if they make it out of that and they make the playoffs, I think that's a huge success for the Denver Broncos, but that's the goal right there, because the bounce of a ball in those few games, you can go from winning the division or not making the playoffs. That's how crucial I think December is going to be in the AFC West.
Does Russell Wilson have anything to prove, Bart? I mean, does he need to prove something here?
I don't know if he has something to prove. We're talking about a Super Bowl champion. You talk about a guy who's taken a team to the Super Bowl twice. You know, that's a hefty resume in today's climate. I think, you know, to Teddy's point, success looks like going to the postseason, right? Because that team, whoever comes out of that division, is probably going to be two or three teams that maybe go to the postseason. And if, to Teddy's point, you bounce the ball, you can go from winning a game and possibly being in meaningful games. You know, this isn't apples to apples when people consider what Matthew Stafford did last year. This was a team, in the Rams that went to the Super Bowl and was looking to get over the top. You know, this is a team that won seven games last year. And if you think about what Russell's war should be, if this team's plus three, that's a successful season.
Yeah, wins above replacement. What do you think? How do you see the pressure and the way the league is viewing this enormous move of Russell Wilson to Denver?
I mean, in my mind, I think they don't have to win a Super Bowl this year, but they do have to show progression. I mean, they got to show that, they're going to be battle ready. I think, if they win the Super Bowl in the next 3 to 4 years, that would be the win, right? I don't think it's happening this year just because, their division's already stacked as it is.
But here's the thing. We live in a world where Tom Brady changes teams and wins the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford changes teams and wins the Super Bowl. People will look at Russell Wilson and say, if you want to be considered in that class, which I think he does.
He definitely does.
Then isn't that the way we will ultimately measure if it worked or not?
Absolutely. But I don't think it happens year one.
It could, though. It could. I mean, we live in a world where Joe Burrow took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. So anything's possible.
What are you hearing?
Well, I've talked to some teams that believe that, yes, he does have something to prove, despite his greatness, that he hasn't had a great year and a half on the field. They want to see him get in this new offense with head coach Nathaniel Hackett, master it, and get rid of the ball a little more quickly at times. Now, I know I've heard Wilson has had direct work with Hackett in crafting this offense. Like, he's going to have his hands all over how they develop things. There is a sense of relief in Denver, especially with the receivers, like, wow, we're going to actually maximize our skill set now with a top guy, but he's still got to show it.
Well, you seem to be nodding along with that, Cam. What does you think?
I mean, I definitely think the same thing. I mean, you got Russell Wilson, you got Jerry Jeudy, you got
Courtland Sutton.
Hamler, yeah.
You know, I was like, they're going to be definitely elevated. They got a top five defense. I think there's a lot of great things happening.
But they're competitive. With window. Drew Locke, if you're comparing it, it's like a Prius compared to a Ferrari, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's we love the Prius, but I understand what your point is. And Teddy, I mean, that's sort of what I'm thinking. I hear what you were saying, that the reality of the situation is just making the playoffs out of the rugged AFC West might be an accomplishment, but I'm not sure that it will be viewed that way when you consider Russell Wilson's acquisition.
Yeah, there is an element of conversation that Russell wants to enter. I mean, when do we ever talk about Russell Wilson seriously being in the MVP conversation? Has it ever been in December? No, it's always been in September, all right, October, when he's doing well. He has to prove he can't win with an all-star defense or a running game. He has a lot to prove, although Russell has won a Super Bowl. Russell has lost a Super Bowl. But these quarterbacks, I mean, in his mind, he wants to be up there with a quarterback that can change franchises. So there is some pressure on Russell Wilson to go out there and show the Stafford effect, the Brady effect, to see if he can do that and take this team far.
Speaking of stars changing teams, I want you to see this. It's Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. This is Tyreek Hill in a flag football game taking on Hebrew Academy Middle School Lady Warriors in Miami Beach. And just look at him go.
Really?
What do you think, Bart?
That's disrespectful, man. He's talking about changing angles. Like, I don't know what you do. You just call elbows and you know what, man. Listen, your angle's all bad. Your heel toe. You know, this poor girl in the red, man.
Middle school.
I thought that was pretty good.
He has Olympic-type speed.
Yes, that's why you got to understand your speed. You should have been going backwards.
He should have met him at the end zone.
I would have tried to catch him at the one. I would have ran straight to the 1 yard line.
Someone's going to have to explain to me what the intention of this exercise was. As we continue in just a moment, we're talking about Joe Burrow. We're talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Each will have the spotlight on them as they enter their third year. We'll tell you the tall task both of them face as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's all the non-believers.
How did that?
It's all the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that's when we was good, Cam. You hate on them Jets, man.
They are the words that made the man a legend. It's time for Bart Scott's Can't Wait. We're going to do a special third-year quarterbacks edition. The things you can't wait to see from these QBs entering their third season this year, and it starts with Joe Burrow.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe Macaulay Culkin did his thing last year. But let's see this year if he can handle expectations. We live in a world now where the Bengals have high hopes. They should be the favorite to win the division. Let's see if he can step up. Let's see if he can live up to expectations now that they're going to be the hunted, not the hunters.
Be an interesting watch. All right, the next one is Justin Herbert in LA.
Justin. Oh, man, can Justin Herbert reach the title of the best quarterback in his class? Best. Remember, his first year, he was a guy that was considered the guy the top of the class. Then Joe Burrow came back and had Burrow in his second year. This is an opportunity. They put an opportunity around him that he needs to be successful. They suffered up the defense. They went out and locked down his out and locked targets. Can he reclaim that title? Reclaim the baddest man within the class.
All right, the next stop is Miami. The next tour.
Oh, man, Tua, you talk about Tua, you know, a lot of expectations. Listen, we're going to find out a lot here. You know, Brian Flores believe in him, was linked to Deshaun Watson, find out if he's more Dan Marino or Chirino.
That is the big question. Is the been back to that? But let's talk about one more, Jalen. One more.
Oh, Jalen Hurts. Listen, Jalen Hurts is under a lot. Jalen Hurts is. You see what the draft capital, that capital with the Saints. I believe that's because keep some draft equity available. Jalen Hurts isn't the guy. You talk the guy. You to 2023, which everybody's excited about. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. Let's see if Jalen Hurts can hold off the class of 2023 because they're coming. They're coming hard, Cam.
So many interesting storylines here as I bring the rest of the crew in on all of this. And the question I'm going to ask in a minute is, which quarterback from that group do we expect to take the biggest step forward in this season? But it does actually make me think of a whole other. Right now, if you could have either Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow to send her team with, which one would you take?
I think I'm going to take Justin Herbert because of the size because and his ability to stay healthy. And also he has that an added dimension because he can run with the football. He can
see that. That's the question. Now, let's come back to that one, Tori. We'll do the question we had planned here, but it does sort of bring to mind that idea. Burrow went one. Draft. Remember, Tua went second amongst the quarterbacks. Second, Herbert went third. Which one takes the biggest step forward, though, this year, Bart? Start again with you.
Well, it has to be Tua, right? Because Tua won with the lowest floor, so he has the more floor. So it's grounded to capture, right? You talk about just right? You talk has already been a Pro Bowler. You talk about Pro Bowler. Burrow is considered one a top five quarterback. A top five. There's nowhere to go but up for Tua.
Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't get to where they hope that it ultimately fed it all in a prove it year for him. How about you, Cam? How about you think takes the biggest step forward?
I'd say Tua has more room to grow. More room. You know,
did you even study?
What did you see?
He wasn't even on the scouting report.
He doesn't get rattled. I'd say after playing Justin early, he gets a little rattled after him early, right? But Tua stays. Tua, so he has that demeanor about him. That. Because of that, he also just hurt more.
Yes.
So he has so much more room to grow.
Yeah, there were injury concerns in college and now here as well. Teddy, how about you?
Still got to see if Tua can be the quarterback that can take advantage of everything that they've done for him. My answer is Justin Herbert. And, you know, Bart talked about everything he's done so far. Well, the next jump for Justin Herbert is winning the MVP and taking his team to the playoffs. And can that happen? And I believe it can. I think the Chargers can win that division, get to the playoffs, make noise in the playoffs. And then with all of that attention, they're going to get Herbert's going to be playing. Herbert's going to be putting up big numbers and possible very serious MVP candidate.
I absolutely love that pick. How about you, Fowler?
Well, here's the thing with Tua. I'm going Tua because this offense is so loaded up now that he's going to have to work awfully hard to screw this up. Like, he's set up for success right now, where Herbert, those guys are established. Yeah. Jalen Hurts, I think we might know Jalen, he is by now, but Tua, there's still a little bit of Russell Wilson flair in there somewhere, minus the arm strength.
Well, we need to see it. And here's the thing, Bart. I remember you said this about Baker Mayfield a bunch of times. He's got two of everything. Well, that's kind of what they've given Tua. Tua's got two of everything. And if he doesn't get it now, let's put it this way. There are quarterbacks salivating to play in that offense.
Yeah, he will be Sam Darnold. He will be a guy that's looking for a job and being a backup. Listen, no more death by a thousand, no more paper cuts. Mm-hmm. He can't paper going down with these check going to Charlie's. He's got to put Charlie's ball down the field and put the ball at risk.
How about it, Teddy? Let me circle back just quickly to the question I asked Bart a moment ago. Bart, if you're redoing that draft right now and you could have any of these three quarterbacks that we just talked about, which one would be your first pick? Would it be Herbert or Burrow?
Damn, that's hard. I'd go Burrow. Let me go Burrow just because I've seen him in the critical situations and what he does. I mean, Herbert still has that progression to be in those type of games, but Burrow with the talent and the, just that extra of proof of just showing any type of game, any type of situation, he knows how to get it done. I'm going with Burrow right now.
I love Burrow. I'm not in any way knocking him, but I would say, wait, Herbert, have you played against them both, Cam?
I haven't played against Burrow.
No.
Tua, Herbert. Yeah. I kept calling him A-Bear. It was my situation from being down. It was New Orleans for the last 12 years.
I totally get it.
Right.
How about, you give me a quick thumbnail on Herbert.
I mean, he's a hell of an arm. He can make all the plays. But it comes down to it. I mean, I'd probably go Joe. He took him to the Super Bowl. I mean,
Super Bowl. I'm going Herbert.
Listen, he got sacked eight times and still.
But the Geek Squad was running the Chargers, right? Like, this dude's going for 4th-and-1, going on his 17. Like, you look at what Herbert has now. He's poised, I think, to be the boy, you know, to reclaim that title.
I agree. That's why I agreed with Teddy's original take. I have Justin Herbert to be the MVP of the league this year, and that means a big step forward. Speaking of MVP, LeBron James has won one or two of those. He spoke yesterday. He said something unbelievable about what he isn't going to do this offseason. You need to hear it, and you will. Next, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.